Now, when Country Life first hit the airwaves on January the 24th, 1997, who knew that 25 years later it would still be going strong? The new rural magazine show was hosted by Brian Crump and Di O'Connell, and then Sarah Willis. This piece from our archives rounds up that first year when rabbit calicivirus disease, RCD, arrived in New Zealand, illegally introduced by farmers desperate to control the pests feasting on their pasture. The show also delved into health topics that year, and you might wonder what's changed. The team also liked to take a light-hearted slant on things. In 1997, Wolves of New Zealand, with great fanfare, declared socks made of wool smelt less than those in other fibres. So Country Life tested this out on the RNZ tennis team, including Sarah Willis. David Knowles picks up the story.
Sarah was joined by reporters Chris Roberts and Nick Hurst. Each of the trio put on a clean pair of socks. Sarah took the merino number, Nick the nylon cotton blend, while Chris wore pure cotton. The plan was to remove the socks after a good stint on the court and run them under the nose of our guest star snorter, Morning Report's Sean Plunkett.
So look, you can have
look
these.
Look at what I have to wear. Are those woolen, those?
No, these are cotton.
The... Am I the only one wearing wool?
If I end up with
these
a
are cotton
injury.
Nylon. These are cotton nylon mix.
Have we got the other ball?
Nick?
So there's a hint of natural fibre in there, is there?
There's a very slight hint.
So, it's off to the lab, where the eager nostrils of Mr. Plunkett are ready.
Right, well, I'll open up the specimen case. I know you've got a hard nose, and so...
The blend is sort of bearable, and those are particularly strong. So I'd say the blend followed by the merino, followed by the cotton.
But this leaves Wolves of New Zealand's claim in tatters. What went wrong? Well, to explain, we're joined by Wolves of New Zealand's sock and woolly underwear spokesperson, Roger Buchanan.
How is it that you managed to slip behind nylon socks on the old smellnometer?
Brian, I think your research must be faulty. But really, to get a proper analysis of this, really you need to conduct it on monkeys. So as you can put four different socks on four different legs, you see, so as you can get a proper tell off the same animal.
Now, one of the big rural issues of 1997 was health services, or lack of them. Country Life first caught up with the story in January when we visited Otago. In Roxburgh, we found nurse Margaret Eckhoff working out of a cramped doctor's surgery.
So how many rooms have you got?
We've got the treatment room and the doctor's room. And quite often I have to see people in the kitchen where we did the interview. Often have to do blood pressure dressings. Well, we had that boy in the accident out there the other day.
And that was the kitchen?
Mm, that's how cramped we are. And that's also my desk where I do things. Yeah, mini hospital.
Very many. Now, 1997 was also the year the nation looked at future options for its roading system.
Just here, the road is a single lane, that's because...
Across the country, rural councils are struggling to keep their roads going without increasing their rates. Last autumn, one road facing a tough future was the route linking Martinborough with Cape Palliser in South Wairarapa. The South Wairarapa District Council was pouring millions into the road, which just as quickly was falling into the sea. Mike Sinclair is about to show me the Papa Cliffs, one of the most erosion-prone parts of the road.
So, how far is, in the time you've been here, how far has the coastline retreated?
Probably in the vicinity of about 40 feet of land.
Some good news came at the end of the year when South Wairarapa District councillors were told the government would give them extra funding for the road. And as the year draws to a close, the government appears to be favouring a more direct user pays approach for road funding in the future.
Growing disillusion among Southland's sheep and beef.
Now, down in Southland, the dairy conversion boom was turning sour. Dairy farmers who headed south in the hope of a good life were being hit by the cost of expanding the Southland Dairy Co-op's processing capacity. A new Country Life recruit, Sarah Willis, went to find out why people made the move.
North Island dairy farmers were invited to see what Southland had to offer. Couples like Margaret and Bill Moller, who liked what they saw, then sold their farm in Taranaki and shifted south. They were amazed at the Southland conditions.
Per cow for us has been quite a boost coming to Southland. I think probably with the better pasture growth, the longer days, the cows are better fed, you don't get quite a number of health problems associated here in Southland. You know, if you look at them, they're, most of these are heifers that you see, and, you know, they just keep such good condition.
Now, 1997's been big on weather. Right now, most of the eastern side of New Zealand is either in or heading for drought. But in July, the problem in Northland was too much water. Floods cut off much of the top of the country, and Sarah, my, that woman was busy, got caught right in the middle of it.
Further along when we get into Kawakawa, I can imagine it'll be pretty swamped there.
But the biggest rural story of 1997 had to be this.
Today I've announced that the application to import the RCD virus as a biological control for rabbits should be refused. This means that it will be continue to be illegal to import the virus. It would be contrary to our biosecurity policy to permit the introduction of an organism which can't confidently be predicted to produce benefits that are at least commensurate with the risks that are being taken.
The Ministry of Agriculture's Deputy Director General, Peter O'Hara, announcing rabbit calicivirus, virus, RCD, would not be introduced as a rabbit biocontrol. That July decision had farmers like Ben Aubrey from Omarama in the South Island High Country spitting tacks.
You would have to wonder whether the decision makers have a place in the society anymore, whether they actually have their heart in the job.
What do you think motivates them then? Why have they made this decision?
I would hate to think. I couldn't think of any reason why I can't answer that.
It just doesn't make sense to you?
It just doesn't make sense. I just can't believe it. I just, with all that there was to be gained, to make it a decision like that, would the next logical decision will be that we're not allowed to travel overseas in case we come in contact with RCD.
Well, with hindsight, MAF probably wishes it had taken Mr. Aubrey's advice on that one, but more on that later. Meanwhile, farmers had something else to get upset about, the Resource Management Act. And nowhere was that outrage more keenly felt than in the far north, where the district council was copping serious flak from local farmers angry at how its district plan environmental protection measures were cutting across what they saw as their property rights.
Of all the district plan disputes, Northland's is the most bitter. This week it turned ugly at a rally in Kaikohe to support two farmers in court for moving dirt onto a farm track.
Far North District Mayor Sue James getting a rough ride from Northland farmers. Now, along with being the time for discontent, winter's also when the central North Island town of Ohakuni harvests much of the carrot crop it's famous for, and to celebrate, it has a carnival. Which is where I found Bernie at his multi-coloured Ford Zephyr, the ultimate carrot picker's car.
You'd be coming to work, you'd have to go pick him up at the TAB, and then they said, I'll just drop you off here at the pub here, bro, and I'll be right, you know. So, yeah. You know, you sort of got about, used to get about 3 days a week, you'd come about Friday, payday, you wouldn't see them until about Monday, you know, so.
Funnily enough, carrots of a different kind were in the news shortly afterwards. You see, 1080 carrots were being used by South Island High Country farmers to spread a strain of RCD illegally brought into the country. As many had promised after MAF rejected the initial application to bring in RCD, the disease was here anyway. In fact, farmers had had it for close to 2 months before the news broke in late August. And the first person they told? Asked Sarah.
But what about the legality of it? What about the fact that it was an illegal organism, so to speak?
Well, do you know, we didn't really think too much about that at that stage, because we had something that we knew was in 43 other countries of the world. We knew from all the submissions, from all the paperwork that had been gone through to find out whether we could have it in New Zealand, that it was not going to harm humans, it wasn't going to harm any animals, and they had come out, MAF had come out and said that it wasn't going to harm anyone, and so we had decided as farmers that it was safe enough. No one could come up with any concrete evidence to say that it was going to do any damage.
Problem is, the jury's still out on whether the disease is doing serious damage to rabbit populations. But the move sure damaged confidence in the integrity of New Zealand's biosecurity system. Now, it was about this time that a new development in rural transport arrived on the scene. Milk trains. The ever-expanding Kiwi Dairy Company contracted Transrail to bring over 1 million litres of milk a day from its Oringi depot in the Tararua district.
Bloody brilliant scheme, you know. They're talking about opening up more of them. This is an experimental one, see how it goes. So these ones at the back there...
The trains take the milk to Kiwi's plant in Whareroa in South Taranaki. The whole thing has big implications for the dairy industry, dominated by news of mergers and plant centralisation. It may eventually make it possible for two or three companies to process all the country's milk on just a few sites.
Pretty hard to get in here.
Thanks very much. G'day, Bob. So this is a... You don't have seat belts on these things?
No.
Oh, we're moving.
Yep.
That was a smooth start.
And so at about 5.45, a few minutes early, train 544 begins to crawl around the horseshoe curve that links the milk silo with the main line. Behind us, 3,000 horsepower, 14 wagons, 800 tonnes, and 500,000 litres of milk.
We've always wanted to do this, folks.
In October, we return to Roxburgh to pick up on the health debate.
Well, very soon we hope the plans go out to tender to the building.
Crown Health Enterprises are pulling out of providing rural health services and leaving the job to local trusts. Thousands took to the streets in protest, but Margaret Eckhoft in Roxburgh is optimistic. They've got their old hospital back and are keen to get more local control.
But not a lot of structural changes. We've got to get rid of the asbestos, check out the wiring, check out the sprinklers, and just make the place into a medical centre that the district can be very proud of.
And so basically people are coming up and they are guessing as to how long it will take for this thing to go sky high.
Well, stop.
Into November and the annual Whangamomona Republic Day. The tiny Taranaki town declares its independence every year in protest at a 1988 local government boundary change that took it out of the Taranaki region. These days, though, it's more of a fundraiser for the local community, and a chance to engage in the annual ritual sacrifice of the local bomb. The car's engine is drained of oil and water and someone puts a brick on the accelerator, with people placing bets on how long they think it'll last. It's amazing what people think up to pass the time in out-of-the-way places.
Stop the clock! Stop the clock! And the winning time, mid. 38.27.
This ends our broadcast from the Assembly Hall of Wellington.
Also
Girls
gone,
College,
correspondent school broadcasts on national radio. Goodbye. Radio New Zealand's Elizabeth Alley explains why.
I think the younger people for whom that experience is designed are not listening, and I think that radio as a learning tool is something that is no longer viable for young people. We know that children under the age of five are learning the internet. There is not only television and CDs and FM music experience, but CD-ROM. There's a huge range of learning experiences now available to children through CD-ROM and video and so forth that is more attractive to them than radio.
But then down the comeback trail came Chesendale, the animated farmers who sold your Chesdale cheeses in the 1970s, which inspired us to sing our own version as a tribute to the kitchen whiz skills of those intrepid farmers who spread rabbit Khaleesi virus across the high country.
We are the boys from down the farm, we know our RCD. It's much quicker spreading with cheddar, it never fails to please. It appeals to rabbits' eating habits.
Once they taste it, then they've had it.
There's no waste, but still it's got a mighty taste. RCD, with Kiwi cheddar, works better.
The 1997 rural year, as told and sung by the Country Life team of Brian Crump and Sarah Willis.